Monsignor Spalgatti, son of Joseph, also known as Girolamo Spalgatti, and Serena Filomena Migliorini. Both my parents immigrated from Italy. My father came to work in the mines, solicited by an agent of the Iron Oliver Mining Company in the year 1905. He was born in Solto Colina in the province of Bergamo. This is in northern Italy. The son of Antonio Spalgatti and Lucia Grizzetti. He was the oldest of five sons, orphaned at the age of seven by the loss of their mother. And the five boys were raised by Grandpa Tony. Two other boys also were raised by Tony, the sons of his sister, who, after being widowed, remarried, and the new husband preferred not to take the two boys with him. These two were Costante and Massimo Spalgatti. When my dad came to this country in 1905, he passed through Castel Garden in New York. He told me often that he saw the ocean, the Atlantic, at Genoa, and when he looked over his shoulder when he reached New York Harbor, and that in between 28 days of ocean travel, he was deathly sick. How he came to northern Michigan, of course, is in the annals of the Oliver Mining Company and ultimately the Cleveland Cliff Iron Company, for whom he worked in Negaunee for 52 years. He settled originally in the Princeton area, having an uncle there who had come to this country in 1892. Dad was born on February 14th, 1887. After a brief stay in the mines of the Princeton and the Austin locations, he moved to Negaunee, boarding at the home of the woman that I came to call Nona, or grandmother, Angeline Terzaghi, herself a widow with two daughters and a son. And to make a living, she operated a boarding house for Italian miners, at one time having as many as 27, I'm told, in her home, for whom she did all the cooking, aided by her daughters, of course, all the baking, all the washing of both personal and of mining clothes. In exchange, many of the boarders helped her with the care of cattle for milking purposes and for doing other of the chores around that type of a house. My mother's brother, Ambrose Migliorini, later coming from Brebbia in the province of Como, now province of Varese in northern Italy to Canada, and then from Canada to Negaunee, Michigan. This uncle Ambrose, my mother's brother, married Ida Terzaghi, and they were the parents of three sets of twins, the only one surviving being Angela, who is now in the year 1980, a member of the Sisters of St. Joseph, and is presently stationed in St. Catherine's Parish in Denver, Colorado. To get back to my father, he began to work in Nagani at the mine known as the Lucky Star, and from there to the boarding house was a distance of some a mile and a half. And for a young lad who the age of 18, working a full day in the mine, he said he often sat down two and three times on his way home crying with the extreme tiredness of the day's work. And that when he got to the boarding house, the boarding house keeper, Angelina Terzaghi, oftentimes with damp cloth, helped him to wash his face before supper. His wages at that time, he said, were about $1.37 a day. Transferring from the Lucky Star to the Queen Mine, which was within a good baseball throw from the boarding house, he worked there until he transferred again, this time to the Cleveland Cliff Iron Company mining operation known as the Nagani Mine. There he met Captain John Tregoning, who took a liking to Dad, and when the Cleveland Cliff Iron Company started the Athens Mine in the year 1911 or thereabouts, Captain Tregoning asked my dad to transfer with him to this new to be begun mine. And at the groundbreaking ceremony, so Dad often said, Mr. S.R. Elliott, who was the general manager of the Cleveland Cliff, turned the first sod, then handed Dad the shovel to continue the digging of the Athens mine shaft, and Captain Tregoning made Dad the boss of the crew. And from the beginning of the sinking of that shaft until the year or two before the actual closing of the mine, again around the year maybe 1900 and maybe 52 or 3, memory doesn't serve me exactly on that, he was the repair or shaft foreman for the Cleveland Cliff. Dad came to this country, of course, to earn a living, not only for himself, but more so to be of support for his father and the four brothers who were still at home, and the two not necessarily adopted, but at least being raised by Grandpa Tony, we always consider them step-sons. When Dad began working in the mines, of course, he always, each month, sent home to his father a good part of his earnings. This was done through the agency of Mr. Felix Shibato, who was a sort of an Italian consul, a man who had settled in Nagani around the turn of the century, coming from the province of Torino in northern Italy. This man also was conducting a grocery store and meat market, bringing the groceries around to the homes of his customers, mostly the Italians, who were gradually multiplying in numbers in the Nagani area. Dad was being watched on during the years from 1905 until maybe about 1912, when the boarding house owner, Grandma Terzaghi, we will call her from now on, approached him as matchmaker, suggesting that maybe it's time for him to marry. And he professed not having any girlfriend, in Italy, and certainly no one, nor was he interested in anyone who might have been a resident of the Negani, and particularly the Patch location, which was a kind of an Irish settlement in those years. She suggested a niece that she had in Italy who would make him a good wife. Dad simply smiled and said, "Not for me." 2 years later, she approached him again. This time, Dad said, "Well, what would it cost me?" And in those days, the fare, transportation, both inland and overland, with the sea crossing in between, was around $80. And when Dad said, "Well, maybe," Grandma Terzaghi wrote a letter suggesting that she had a very fine man that would make a good husband for this niece, Serena Migliorini of Brebbia, of the province of Como, now called the province of Varese, and she consented to come. Dad made the money available through the Felix Shibato agency, and Mom, being the oldest of three girls, whose brother already was in Canada, came with a commitment to be the spouse of this Joseph Girolamo Spelgatti. I am not certain of the date that Mom left. I think it was somewhere toward the end of March. She arrived in Negani following her crossing of the Atlantic, and then by train across northern New York, Canada, and into Sault Ste. Marie, and then over to Negani on her own birthday, April the 10th, 1914. The notice of her coming was acknowledged, and Grandma Terzaghi told Dad to go up to the depot to meet the train because his bride-to-be would be on the train. We often wonder what happened. Dad says he was there. I think he hid behind one of the brick pillars of the railroad station that still stands in Negani, because he came back to the boarding house around 11 o'clock at night and said she was not on the train. Meanwhile, on a hunch, Mr. James Bottoni, who was operating a tavern in Negani, just a block and a half down from the depot, took a walk up there and met the young lady. Mr. Bottoni was a cousin of Grandma Terzaghi and was just as anxious to see the arrival of a cousin to be part of the Milano or the Varese or the Brebbia colony in Negani. And he took Mom down to his saloon or tavern upstairs to his wife, where they kept Mom for the night, and then next morning brought her down to the boarding house there for the first time to be seen by my father, who supplied the fare, and the other boarders, and of course a woman of beauty and of very complacent and mild manner. She immediately captured the heart of all of them, and Dad often said to me in her presence too that, you know, if I hadn't accepted your mother, there were 27 other men who were lined up, me after you. I'm most happy that Dad did take Mom, and they were married on the 7th of May, and the longest time they spent together was a half hour in the presence of Father Dingfelder, then the young Negani priest, who was serving as an assistant in the parish to Monsignor Henry Buchholz, instructed them and prepared them for their May 7th marriage. This marriage of Girolamo Joseph Spalgati and Serena Filomena Migliorini lasted until death took Dad on the 1st of January 1966. Mom at this moment is about 5 months short of her 90th birthday. She is residing with me, the only offspring of that union, Monsignor David Spalgati, and she is 89 years old at this moment. During all those years, both Mom and Dad had an active part in the Italian community of Negani, as well as in the community life. Mom is particularly, because she was fluent in the Italian language, being an avid reader, a dramatist in her younger days, as a member of the community of Brebbia and of the parish of St. Peter's. She became one of the leaders in the Italian women's groups, the clubs, and a charter member of the Druid Society for Italian Women. She also was a charter member of the Daughters of Isabella, the female branch then known so as the organization for the women whose husbands were Knights of Columbus. Dad, of course, joined the Knights of Columbus, I would say somewhere back in about 1900 and maybe 23 or 24. I remember it was a proud day for him. Later on, he became in 1946 a fourth degree Knight of Columbus, and always cherished the opportunities to come forward in witness of the Catholic faith that he held so dear, and that with Mom and they passed on to me, to the point where I, in the year 1929, decided to enter the seminary and was ordained to serve in the Diocese of Marquette in the year 1941 on June 7th. To get back to Dad and his contribution, not only to the mining industry, which was rather great for an immigrant and for one who had no more than what he always said, a 2.5-day formal school education, but he was an expert on shaft work and safety and ventilating, not only for the shafts but for the whole mine. And oftentimes the mining company was sent to others of their operations to make suggestions as to better ways of providing that precious element of good air for the working men underground, as well as some of the safety doors for which he was responsible to cut off the potential for maybe drafts that could bring serious consequences in situations when there might occur some of the timber fires occasioned by the then early days, now before the 1920s, the candle and the carbide lamps that were a constant threat to the igniting of fires in the mines. As a leader of the Italian colony, which gradually grew, because as Dad became more prosperous, if I could use that word, sent money and brought over his brother, Amadeo. The two worked together, sent money home for the support of the rest of the family, and then brought over another brother, Enrico, better known as Henry. He is still alive and presently in a nursing home in Milwaukee near his daughter, Lucy. His wife, Angeline, a cousin of my mother, whom she brought over for him to marry, and also another cousin, sister of Angeline, Regina, who also came over to marry my father's brother, Amadeo. So two sisters married two brothers, and they were cousins to my mom. Dad was used by the mining company as a spokesman for the growing Italian colony, and also was responsible in a political way in the party systems of Negani as a kind of a ward spokesman. And Dad always refused to run for office, but he fulfilled the responsibilities of supervisor or alderman in the Fifth Ward for more years than I can remember, always being concerned for the needs of the people of the ward, which was largely one of Finnish people with a sprinkling of Italians. And his concern was always for the widows, and particularly for the children in those fatherless homes. And his great love for children is still remembered by many who are still alive and the beneficiaries of his concerns that they have from the company or from the county welfare programs, the help that they needed. And a great deal came from his own pocket as he dressed and he fed those who didn't have enough from what might be offered by company and by county. In the year 1953 or 4, Dad retired and moved to Marquette, rather reluctantly, but at the suggestion of Bishop Noah, for whom at that time I was working as editor of, the founding editor of the diocesan newspaper. He and Mom moved in with me at 245 Barrett Avenue. Bishop Noah suggesting that it was foolish to operate two houses, and why don't they come? And I guess in obedience to the bishop, they moved, and Dad was very happy to be again back with me, making our family one again. We were together then in Marquette from his retirement until the end of June of 1958, Bishop Noah assigned me as pastor of St. John's Church in Ishpeming, sending me there not only to serve the Italian colony in Ishpeming, which in contrast to that of Negani, which is comprised largely of Bergamaschi and of Piemontesi coming from the north of Italy to Ishpeming, where there had settled the Calabresi, for the most part, southern Italians and Sicilians. They too working in the mines. Bishop Noah felt that that would be a good place for me to serve. The facilities were also such as were able to provide a decent home for the three of us. Go back now and fill in again about Dad. When he married on the 7th of May of 1914, he already owned a duplex almost next door to the mine shaft, within 150 yards maybe of the mine shaft. But he bought a home on the corner of Ann Street, now called Highway 480. This home belonged to a family by the name of Nelsons. Dad had it fixed up, and then he began to develop the yard and the large lot into a garden, and he was known for having a green thumb. This green thumb brought him many a prize, 1 year for best kept premise, the next year for the best garden. In the annual competition sponsored by the Cleveland Cliff Iron Mining Company amongst its employees. He also was drafted, or at least volunteered, and to share his green thumb, particularly with the building of New St. Paul's School, the planting of the trees that still grace the area on K Street and along Pioneer Avenue and down and around on Peck Street, the property which is St. Paul's Parish. His fruits from the garden, of course, and the trees and whatnot, were always available to the men as they walked by on their way home from the mine. Joe, how about a tomato? Joe, how about a handful of lettuce? Joe, how about maybe some other vegetables and whatnot? And he was always here, sure, go help yourself. Mother, of course, was the conservator of Dad's efforts in the garden, becoming an expert at canning. We always had, even during the Depression years, a basement filled with the mason jars, most often during Depression at least, supplied by the mining company, containing all sorts of vegetables and soups and chicken and whatnot that Mom, as a hobby, raised. I'd like to point out in this Spalgati relationship, particularly in Mom and Dad's marriage, that Mom was became an invalid almost for the rest of her life at the time of my birth, and actually that they had not anticipated her surviving my birth. And for the first 14 years of my life, she spent sometimes as many as 40 of the 52 weeks of a year on her back, or at least in the invalid's chair. And she began to teach me both the Italian language, of course, not only to speak it, but also to read it and to write it. This against my protesters. Why do I have to learn that language? It isn't going to do me any good. But she insisted, and I learned, even to the tune, I guess we might say, sometimes of a hickory stick. This was to pay off in 1937 when Bishop Ploggins called me to Marquette to assign me as a student in the seminary of the North American College in Rome. Then I realized the great importance of having learned that extra language. At the same time that I was doing that, of course, the vocation to the priesthood was growing within me. I'm sure the prayers of Mother and Dad, never their urgings, however, I don't recall even once being asked, would you consider, or we would like to see you go to the seminary to be a priest. My first intentions were always to be a lawyer, that's spelled L-A-W-Y-E-R. Then when I started school in kindergarten, the first day I came home, I was going to be like the sister. When I found that that was impossible, I said, I'm going to be like the man who comes with the pipe and sits on the front desk in the classroom, good Monsignor Dittmann. And that was my only desire, it being realized, as we pointed out, on the 7th of June, 1941. And this coming June, we will be celebrating our 40th anniversary in this priesthood. During the course, the folks protested that they needed my help because of Mom's health condition.